Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into the Lake Show. Matthew Collar here filling in for Henry Lake this evening. A lot going on in Minnesota sports. We've got the Gophers playing football against the Nebraska Cornhuskers. That should be an interesting matchup. I think most of us believe that it should be a good game. I guess we'll see there. Nebraska's got a pretty good team. The Gophers have shown a lot of potential, but, maybe Nebraska is probably favored for tonight, but good chance with the emerging Drake Lindsay at quarterback that the Gophers have a shot for this evening. So we're going to be keeping an eye on that over the next 3 hours. The Minnesota Vikings have named a quarterback, and it's not the guy everyone wants it to be, but J.J. McCarthy continues to recover from an ankle injury. The Minnesota Timberwolves getting into their season. We're going to have Chris Hine from the Star Tribune at 6:35. The Twins are looking for a manager. We've got playoff baseball. Brandon Warren at 7:35. So a lot to talk about in the sports scene here in the Twin Cities. But my forte as the owner and operator of the Purple Insider newsletter and podcast is on the football side with the Vikings. So I want to talk about that. There's a few things in life that over my years on the planet have really changed in terms of what people can do and how they act. So I'll give you some examples. Nobody knows how to run a cash register anymore because why would you need to, right? Like if you needed change from someone who's 25 years old, they would pull out a calculator or they would already have an app that did it for them or whatever, and then they would be able to figure it out. Most likely, they don't touch cash a lot anyway. So that's changed. Like none of us do math in our head. I'll tell you another one. Absolutely nobody memorizes phone numbers anymore. So I used to know off the top of my head when I was maybe 15, 16 years old, all of my friends' phone numbers. You could have asked me and I could have been at a phone booth when that was a thing, and I could have walked in and I could have said, oh yes, call my friend Dave. So I'm going to type up his phone number because I got it in my brain. Let me tell you how many phone numbers I have memorized right now. My own and my wife's, and that's it. I don't have my parents' phone number memorized. When they used to have a real phone and not cell phones, I still have that one in there somewhere, but I don't know their cell phones off the top of my head. It's in my phone. It's there. And were those to disappear, then I would just, I guess, not be able to contact them anymore. But that's how all of us operate, right? Checkbooks. I remember being sat down as a teenager and being shown how to balance my checkbook and to keep track of how much money was in my bank account right down to the final cent. Now it's on an app, and I also don't pay any attention to what I buy or what I do. I went to lunch earlier. I went, boop, here's the card. Now you can pay with your phone. So why even pay attention when you can always just kind of check and, eyeball it. Okay, it looks like we can afford Panera Bread today, so we're good to go. That's how we operate. Now, let me tie this into the Minnesota Vikings quarterback situation. One thing that we used to do as a society is we used to all collectively agree as human beings that quarterbacks needed time to develop. In the 80s, in the 90s, if a team had a young quarterback, they probably were not playing them right away. Some of them maybe historically did, but for the most part, it would take a little while to have a young quarterback get drafted and then actually play. And this lasted into the 2000s because I remember the New York Giants and how they acquired Eli Manning. He wouldn't play for the Chargers. He ends up getting traded to the Giants or however that worked out. And despite all of the drama with drafting Eli Manning, they still didn't start him, the New York Giants, right away. And Philip Rivers was drafted by the San Diego Chargers. They had Drew Brees as their quarterback, and they played it out with Drew Brees for a couple of years until Brees got hurt. He goes to the Saints, has a Hall of Fame career, and then Philip Rivers finally gets in the game and gets going. Here locally, it hasn't happened too many times because draft picks don't necessarily end up working out. There hasn't been that many draft pick quarterbacks, but you can think of a few. Brad Johnson was a later round draft pick. He didn't play for a couple years. Dante Culpepper was a very unpopular pick in Minnesota because fans wanted Javon Kearse and they thought, well, you've got Randall Cunningham and Jeff George. Why in the world would you draft this other quarterback who's not ready to play? But why would you draft Dante Culpepper? He's just from, you know, UCF or whatever. And for an entire year, he did not play and then comes in 2000 after not playing in 1999, has a great season, ends up having a short but really entertaining career with some very high highs. But certainly had he played in 1999 when he was drafted, would not have been anywhere near ready to play and take on the pressure of that team. And so I think everyone was probably okay with developing him at that point. Teams were okay with it. And maybe even if you weren't at home and you wanted to see the young quarterback, they didn't care what you thought. And they knew that this was the best thing for him. There's many, 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 many examples of this. One of my favorite quarterbacks of all time, Jim Kelly, played in the USFL, did not debut until he was 26 years old. There's a lot of quarterbacks over time. Aaron Rodgers is the most famous example where they draft him. Brett Favre plays for a couple more years. Rodgers comes in. It's a little slow at the start. Then he becomes one of the best quarterbacks ever and is still throwing the ball 70 yards in the air, obnoxiously, still looking miserable playing football as he has for the last 5-6 years, but can still chuck it, right? Aaron Rodgers, had he started right away for the Packers, how good would he have been? I'm not sure. But somewhere along the line, and maybe this happened in the 24/7 world of ESPN giant screaming heads or podcasters like myself who talk every single day about the team 365 days a year, social media that owners are on and general managers and coaches are secretly on, and they see everything that's being said. There's always so much pressure to get the kid in the game. We got to get the kid in the game. Doesn't matter if he's ready. And I keep seeing these stats that are really wild about how many coaches have been fired that have drafted quarterbacks in the top 10. I mean, we even saw this week, the head coach of the Tennessee Titans fired. They're playing Cam Ward, their first overall pick, who hasn't looked remotely ready to play in the NFL. But they didn't have another option. They didn't get a veteran quarterback to play for 2 years while they developed Cam Ward, as would have made some sense. So just like balancing the bank account, just like doing the math in your head, it's gone by the wayside that anyone will have any patience whatsoever to develop the young quarterback. Enter J.J. McCarthy. So J.J. McCarthy plays the first 2 games of the season. He has a great ending to the Chicago game, but overall pretty rough. The second game of the season, and I'm aware of the players that were missing. He was missing a star left tackle and a good wide receiver. Okay. But it was one of the worst performances by a quarterback that you'll see. I remember looking this up. It was the 11th worst quarterback rating for a single game by a Vikings quarterback of the last 25 years. So it was rough for J.J. McCarthy. And now he gets injured. So then he's missing several weeks of practice, not able to do a whole lot. This week he was able to take some reps, according to Kevin O'Connell. Scout team, according to Kevin O'Connell. But behind the scenes, O'Connell told us this week that they were rebuilding his foundation of his throwing. That sounds like a thing that's going to take a little more time. I don't know if you can just rebuild the foundation of a quarterback's throwing motion and how he operates within your offense in the middle of the season. There's not that much time to dedicate to practice that you can do that in a week, if that was the main issue against Atlanta, which it sounds like that was a major issue, according to the head coach. For me, and I understand that they're trying to win as fast as possible on his rookie quarterback contract, but for me, it's okay if J.J. McCarthy needs more time. And I could go through all the historical examples of quarterbacks that didn't necessarily click right away. Steve Young was one of them, played really early on for Tampa Bay, didn't do very well, sits behind Joe Montana, then becomes one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. There's lots and lots of examples. Even Patrick Mahomes didn't play right away. I know Vikings fans don't like Jordan Love very much, but he's a pretty good quarterback, and I don't know how good he would have been if he had gone from Utah State right to the Green Bay Packers, but instead got to be behind Aaron Rodgers for a couple years. I don't think it's a coincidence that it's worked out pretty well for the Green Bay Packers. So there's all these examples that we have, whether it's long ago or recently, of quarterbacks waiting to play. And I was thinking about a golf example, about how this summer, Jonathan here producing tonight, in for Chris Tubbs, we were talking about our games for this summer. And the reason that I got better with my long irons this year is game changing for me. You'll never believe it. It's because I practiced it. Shocking stuff, right? Crazy revelation. Major golf tip here for all you golfers. Practice it. I put up a golf net in the backyard and I took out a 6-iron every day and I hit balls into that net. And believe it or not, I played better once I got out on the real course. It seems to me like J.J. McCarthy needs practice. And he needs more time to work on these fundamental things to get better. But we just can't have it as a society anymore. Things move too fast. Media people are too loud. Social media is panicky about absolutely everything. Have you ever seen a social media post that says, you know what, we should just take our time with this? Never. You'll never see a social media post that says, hey, we should take a calm and methodical approach to anything. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be political, it could be sports, it could be trades, coach firings, anything. Everything on social media is the most harsh and ludicrous overreaction that anyone can come up with at the time because they want attention. But that's the world that people are paying attention to now. The coaches are, the general managers are, the ownership certainly is, and the people who have the owner's ear are, and they're saying, we got to play him. We got to get him out there. Everybody wants to see him, whether that's right for him or not. Now, that doesn't mean I don't think they should ever play him again this year. What I think about J.J. McCarthy, as he will, if you missed it, not start against Philadelphia. That means very likely not start against the Chargers unless there's a catastrophe. Or maybe Carson Wentz gets hurt or something. It's possible. So I don't want to declare that just yet. But he's not starting against Philadelphia, and Max Brosmer is going to be the backup. I think that the Vikings should take as long as it needs with J.J. McCarthy, regardless of the noise, regardless of the pressure, and also regardless of the sunk cost of letting go Sam Darnold or not signing Aaron Rodgers. I know those guys are making you look bad right now. Darnold's been great. Rodgers was great last night. He's played well all season long. But you can't go back in time and change that decision and bring Sam Darnold back here now. You can only deal with the cards that are on the table for you if you're the Vikings. And if those cards say J.J. McCarthy needs more time before he's truly ready to go out there and play to be able to protect himself because he was getting killed when he was out there before, and to be able to run the offense to the point where he can build confidence and feel like a real NFL quarterback and start to lead them to wins, if you rush that, the numbers have been pretty clear about the number of coaches who get fired, the number of teams that have bust quarterbacks. And I think the evidence is all over the NFL right now. Mac Jones is playing well for the 49ers. Sam Darnold is playing well. Baker Mayfield is playing well. These guys are first-round draft picks whose teams pushed them into action, didn't develop them enough, had bad situations. Then it created drama. Then there was fired coaches. And then they end up succeeding somewhere else. That should be the biggest nightmare for the Minnesota Vikings with J.J. McCarthy, is that in 2029, he's playing for somebody else and succeeding. So they should take their time and they should be patient and make sure he's fully ready to start when it's time for him to start. And also, I think that people should take a deep breath. It's hard to do these days. Another thing that never used to happen was looking at your phone while watching sports, right? That used to not exist because you couldn't really look at your phone for anything. So you just watch the sports. But we're so much more impatient now. Our brains work way too fast. I was in an Uber one time where at a stoplight, the guy driving starts scrolling on his like iPad setup on Twitter at a stoplight. Like, our brains just don't handle patience anymore at all. So I would ask Vikings fans to have your brain try to execute some patience with the quarterback situation, because it might take that. It might take some more time until J.J. McCarthy gets in. And what everyone says to me is, well, how's he going to get better if he doesn't play? Well, to use the golf example, I got better working on my fundamentals in the backyard in golf. How do golfers reshape their swings? How do they get better? By playing tournaments with new swings? Or do they work with coaches? Do they work on the side in the driving range? If you were a musician who was going to play US Bank Stadium, would you just walk out there and play the songs, or would you practice? Would you work on it at home? Would you get it down first, the fundamentals of the notes you needed to play? If that is what McCarthy needs, if that's what Kevin O'Connell thinks McCarthy needs, then that's what they should do, regardless of the pressure that's going to come because some other quarterbacks have played well that maybe could have or possibly should have been the quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings. So for now, it's Carson Wentz. Let me take a break. When we come back, let's talk about how good they could be with Carson Wentz, because the Vikings have a huge game this week. And I've gotten the sense that a lot of people don't want to watch Carson Wentz. So can I talk you into it? Let's see. On Sunday, Vikings and Eagles. Matthew Collar in for Henry Lake.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find it.
They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low-impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com, code FIT.
Matthew Collar in for Henry Lake. I know people are not happy that Carson Wentz is starting. J.J. McCarthy not healthy, did not practice in full this week, and will be the emergency quarterback, which means if Wentz gets hurt, it's Max Brosmer, which is kind of exciting, actually, because Max Brosmer looked really good in preseason and training camp, and the team seems to love Max Brosmer. So if he gets in, I mean, I think he could actually be pretty good. But let's assume that he doesn't. Carson Wentz is starting. I've heard from a lot of Vikings fans while doing the podcast. One of the things I do is live chats with fans. There seems to be a malaise so long as Carson Wentz is in. But here's my thing. It's a long season, number one. If Carson Wentz ends up playing a couple of games, getting them through while J.J. McCarthy recovers and develops, and later in the season, things start to go a little downhill for Wentz, as they usually do, and McCarthy comes back in, and the development is helped, and he improves, they could be a really exciting football team. So I don't know why you would bail on the season for now when this team can win games and has Justin Jefferson, who's one of the best players in the NFL, and has a chance to stay competitive in the NFC. When you look around, I mean, the Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl last year, but they're not special so far this year. The Chargers are pretty good. That's their opponent next Thursday, but they're not incredible. They're not unbeatable. It's all part of the journey to survive this and advance to a point where you can get your quarterback back and get back on track for the season. And this game has a ton of great matchups. I mean, you're talking about the team that went to the Super Bowl, Super Bowl winning quarterback, video game cover running back for the Eagles, who's been struggling a little bit, a Vikings defense that is as good at blitzing as anybody in the NFL. They've got some weaknesses against the run. Can they stop them? Can they stop Saquon Barkley? Like, good storylines all over the field. They have a banged up secondary, Philadelphia does. Can Justin Jefferson go for 150 and have one of those special games? And one thing I'll give Carson Wentz is that he's been very good at getting the football to Justin Jefferson. This is a good football game between two good football teams. And with the NFC as wide open as it is, it's not going to take probably 14 wins to get to the top. I mean, look at Green Bay, 3-1-1, just another team, the Lions. What, 4-2? 3-2? 4-2, right? 4-2? I mean, nobody is running away. It's sometimes it feels like the Vikings are constantly winless, the way that people talk about them. You would think, like, what's their record? 3-2? Oh, I thought it was 0-5. The way that fans talk about, you know, everybody seems to be doing everything wrong all the time. And yet they're 3-2. It's been a tough start to the season. They have not been a dominant team by any means. They've been losing in a lot of the games. In fact, I mean, two out of the three games that they won, they were losing for most of the game, if not the entire game, until the very end. So I could see, like, it's been a grind to get to this point. Those overseas games were not easy. They weren't pretty. And yet, here you sit right in the middle of the NFC race with a chance to beat a team that you should really dislike in the Philadelphia Eagles. And then go play on national TV against one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. and Jim Harbaugh, who the Vikings considered hiring and then decided against it. Like, there's a lot of juice in these games. And then it's Detroit after that. So I don't think that it's a time to check out on this team. I think it's a time to look for some really good matchups here. And then eventually they'll get to the point where J.J. McCarthy is very likely to come back. I mean, I get it. Many, many years of backup quarterbacks that you're told to buy into, and then they disappoint you in the end. But it's kind of remarkable how the history of this team seems to have weighed on the fans to the point where when anything goes wrong, it's I'm out. If they're not winning the Super Bowl, I'm going to go fishing on Sunday. And that's just, it's kind of a thing that I think is mostly driven by social media, maybe, this attitude, because people just enjoy flipping out constantly. But I think these games are going to be good between very good teams. So I am interested, very interested in Sunday's game between the Vikings and the Eagles. All right, let's talk some basket hoops. The Minnesota Timberwolves are locked in a battle for their lives in preseason right now against the Philadelphia 76ers. I'm not going to bother with the score. It doesn't matter. But Chris Hine will talk about the things that does matter about the Timberwolves and their upcoming season when we return Matthew Collar in for Henry Lake.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com. Code FIT.
All right, for some reason, I don't understand this at all. Chris Hine of the Star Tribune is not locked in on the Minnesota Timberwolves preseason game against the Philadelphia 76ers. Instead, he's going to join us on the phone here. Derelict in your duties, Chris, to not be focused on this 30-21 Battle of Titans here in the preseason. Is there any sport that people care less about the preseason? In football, we cover them like real games, and we're like, the backup guard, he made his case today, guys. And the Timberwolves are playing. I've never heard of anyone who's on the floor right now. So I think you're okay for tonight.
Yeah, I think so, too. And that's why I got tickets to go see Paul McCartney tonight as well. So I'm like, I think I'm in the clear on this one.
Yeah, I know you're a big music guy. What is your favorite McCartney era?
Oh, that's an excellent question. Are we throwing, you know, what era of the Beatles in there, or just McCartney solo, or how are we thinking about
that? I was leaving that to any way you want to take it. I think Beatles matters a lot to that too.
That yeah, it does. I guess I'll say, you know, I don't know. I kind of liked when he put out silly love songs. It's kind of like a retort to John Lennon, like the passive back and forth between him and John Lennon for a while there. Post Beatles is kind of fun to go back and revisit some of that. And so I just think like silly love songs coming out of that whole thing was kind of, it's kind of cool that he wrote like this kind of classic pop song because John Lennon took a dig at him. That's fun to me.
That's good. I like that. It's Wings for me and nothing else. So forget the beat. No, I'm just kidding. But that should be a heck of a concert though.
I just don't know, like when it comes to the Beatles, like, which album am I going to pick that has the best Paul songs? I don't, off the top of my head, I can't really come up with it. So I'd have to sit down and think about that a little more.
Yeah, right. I think both of us would have to be like a little more of those Beatles freaks. You know how there's Beatles freaks that think that they're the only music that's ever been made and they know every single song? They're like, I'm not that. So let's talk basketball then, because we are basketball freaks, Chris. I want to talk about a unknown player, Anthony Edwards, who's on the rise here. Now, you wrote the book... You wrote the biography, Ant, and you did an amazing job, I think, really bringing us inside who Anthony Edwards is. My question for you, Chris, is who is Anthony Edwards going to be? Because for so long, he's been a player on the rise, and over the last 2 years, it's been almost there. It's been so close to getting him to the NBA Finals and has come short. And it's been so close to him being on that echelon of players where we talk about all-time greats. And I think some people jumped the gun calling him Michael Jordan, which was maybe a little unfair. But what is the next phase of Anthony Edwards?
The next phase of Anthony Edwards, I think, is becoming a more consistent two-way player and really setting the tone at the defensive end of the floor, which is something he hasn't done in his career. And I think he recognizes that, but applying it and doing it on a night-to-night basis over the course of an 82-game schedule, I think, is more of a challenge than you think. So, to me, that's his number one priority this year. If he can step it up on the defensive end of the floor, the Wolves can maybe get back to, I don't know if they're going to have the best defense in the league. I think the Thunder will still have that for sure. But can they have the second-best defense in the league? Absolutely. And I think it starts with him and the commitment that he makes at that end of the floor. To me, you could talk about post-ups, mid-range game, adding all this stuff to his offensive game, but he's so athletic and he has the capability to be a really high-level defender, both on and off the ball, that committing himself to that end of the floor and setting the tone there, I think, is probably the biggest thing he could do for this team and his career right now.
There's also something too, and I don't really know what it is, but this is just more of a feeling than I have data to back this up. But it feels like when some of these megastar type of players who came in super early, when they get into their mid-20s, there's like a switch that gets flipped in terms of consistent focus, because I have felt like Anthony Edwards over the years, as breathtaking as he is on most nights and most possessions, even that he's got the basketball in his hands, there is a kind of a focus like, oh, Anthony went into that zone where he takes 7 bad shots in a row that were quick and weren't really thought out and weren't within the system and weren't letting the basketball get back to him when he's passing. And then when he's doing those things, he's just unstoppable. I feel like this is the time where a lot of these types of players turn that corner.
That's correct. He's 24 now. It generally tends to be around this age, 24, 25, year 6 in the league, because I think at some point you start to get a little complacent with your place in the league, right? Like, you know, more than a half a decade in now. It's, you know, it's nice to your first couple of years to make your first All-Star team and to make your first All-NBA team. And, you know, those are great accolades and nothing to diminish for sure. But after a while, it's like, okay, do you want to be that MVP caliber of player? Do you want to be the player that can win a championship? Or are you just content with being a very good NBA player for a number of years. There's people around the NBA will tell you that there's different kinds of players in that regard. And there are players that are driven to want to be great. And there are players that are largely satisfied with their position in the league, especially if they reach kind of that all-star, all-NBA level. And I think that's where Ant is right now in his career. And, you know, you hear the stories about him working out in the summer, and this is the hardest he's ever worked out, blah, 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 all that stuff. But I really do think once the season gets into it, to me, and I'll be writing about this in coming days for the Strib, this is the season where Ant has really said and paid lip service to the things that he's been the weakest at in his game so far through five seasons, the mid-range stuff and the defensive end of the floor. If he is really serious about taking that leap as a player, this is the year where he makes dramatic improvements on some of the weakest aspects of his game. So I think it's a big test for him personally, and I think it'll show just where he is when it comes to how really serious is he about having this team be a winning team and him doing the things that are necessary for it to be a winning team.
Talking with Chris Hine, Minnesota Star Tribune, Timberwolves beat reporter. You mentioned the word serious, and that's something that Anthony Edwards sort of oscillates between and not in his personality in front of the media. Now, you, of course, went behind the scenes to write your book and got to know much more about who he is. I wonder about the leadership element and within the locker room, because there have been times where I've been very, very impressed by the way he's handled stuff, and other times where I thought, yeah, still a kid, still hasn't reached that phase yet. What about that element? Because I feel like when you have that guy, he needs to be more than just, hey, he's improved his mid-range, he's improved his defense. Like, that's great. But to get to a championship, there has to be a little bit more that is things that we can't necessarily quantify.
Yeah, that intangible sort of quality. I think he's had that a little bit. He's very likable, obviously, and the teammates love him. I don't think you're ever going to find a teammate that's going to say a bad word about how he is in the locker room, how he is with everybody on the team. He treats everybody, you know, from two-way guys, fringe of the roster guys, to other stars. He treats everybody the same, regardless of their stature on the team. He pumps everybody up. He's always willing to be everybody's number one cheerleader. But he's also not afraid to dish out, you know, friendly criticism and constructive feedback when necessary or when he deems it necessary. That's something that's grown over the last couple of seasons as he's just had more experience in the league, a little more comfortable expressing himself as one of the leaders on the team. When you're in year two and year three, it's a little harder to do that than year five, year six, when you have a couple of all NBA appearances on your resume. So now he has the authority and the pedigree to do stuff like that. So how he uses his voice is very important. But honestly, more so than that, it's how he shows up every day. And he usually shows up with a lot of energy. He usually shows up in a good mood, ready to work. But, you know, sometimes on the floor, especially if you're playing a lower level opponent, the motivation to go out and make sure that this is a win isn't always there. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the things that he's aware of. It's one of the things that the team is aware of. So it really is about that consistency this year. Having the same motivation to take on the tanking, I don't know, Utah, right?
Right.
That you have going up against the Thunder. That's one of the other challenges for him this year. Again, it's something he's paid a lot of lip service to over the course of his career, but it's something that's still an issue in year six, and something that we'll see if he corrects.
Yeah, it's weird to talk about because it feels like, hey, there's another level to this, and we're going to find out if he can reach it. They went to the Western Conference Finals with him as their guy 2 years in a row. Like, you would have died for that before he got here, of like anybody to get. And now we're kind of like critiquing around the edges. But when somebody has this talent, that is the next step to get to the finals. The one more thing I want to talk about with you, Chris, though, is just how things are going to work with Dante DiVincenzo, Mike Connolly. I think last year we saw DiVincenzo, some serious inconsistency, and Connolly we saw, and by the way, he's one of my favorite players of all time. So it pains me also as someone who's basically Mike Connolly's age to say we saw the signs of aging, because I see them in myself and it makes me sad. So I'm sad for Mike. But how are we managing the rest of the backcourt, do you think, with Connolly, his minutes, his role, and getting the best version of DiVincenzo?
I think we'll start with Connolly first. I think I'm more optimistic about Mike Conley coming into this year because he had a better offseason than he did a year ago. He was battling a bunch of things last offseason, and he said it really affected his preparation and the way he comes into the season. So it wasn't a coincidence that he started the year really slow, kind of off his game, and that's obviously started the "is Mike Conley washed" sort of conversations that nobody really wanted to have. But he came around, I think, a little bit as the season went on. But he had a basically, you know, easy summer. He said he was able to have his normal off season. I think he's going to be fine coming into this year. He knows his role. The team has a lot of continuity, so I'm maybe a little more optimistic about Mike Conley. As for DiVincenzo, same thing. I think the continuity is going to help. I think this effort to play more in transition is going to be more his speed, space the floor, spot up for open threes. They can get out and run the floor. I think that caters more to his game than trying to generate those looks in the half court. So I expect him to have a better or more efficient three-point shooting year. And the thing to remember about DiVincenzo is I think the injury really derailed where he was going.
Mm-hmm.
Last year he had that turf toe injury in, like, mid-January. That sidelined him for over a month. But right before that, he took Mike Conley's spot in the starting lineup for about 8-9 games. And those are the best 8-9 games DiVincenzo played in the Timberwolves uniform. So he was finding it last year, and the injury, I think, knocked him off kilter a little bit. So, you know, getting back to that version of himself within this team will be a big help for him, because I do think when he had that opportunity to start and he kind of had the rhythm of being there for half the year, he started to really show what he can do.
Okay, Chris, before I let you go see Paul McCartney, since I'm a football reporter, I'm going to ask you a question that to me is a very normal question, but to you would be a very stupid question. How many wins are the Timberwolves going to get this year? what's the bar? Where are we setting it at? Because in football, we're like 10-win team, 12-win team,
right.
7-win team. So I feel like you guys should have to do the same.
Low 50s. I think low 50s is reasonable. I mean, they were, what, 49 last year? And I think with continuity, I think that's worth a couple more wins. So, yeah, I know the Vegas over-under, I think, is about where they were last year. So I would probably go over. I'm not a betting person. But I think when you look at the landscape of this team, you factor in some internal improvement, I think it's fair to say, like, let's call it 53 wins.
Okay, right? I like it. I like it. I think we all know where we're setting the real bar, and that's what happens next summer. But I agree with you that they should be in that range. Chris Hine, the book is Ant. Make sure you go check it out. The great biography of Anthony Edwards and, of course, the Star Tribune. Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate you doing this. I'm sure that you're hyped to go to the concert, so I'm really glad you can make the time. And maybe check in on that preseason game. Looks like it's getting tight.
I might turn off for 5 minutes. We'll see.
All right. Thanks a lot, Chris. Appreciate you, man.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Yep. Bye.
Chris Hine there, Star Tribune. So I'm not a huge Beatles person. So when we start talking McCartney, I'm like, yes, I am very familiar with his bass work. Like it's just a little bit like classic rock to me is in a place where I think I know the songs that have played on classic rock stations, but I'm not a like, hey, I've got 5,000 records in my house and I play Deep Zeppelin cuts and stuff like that. And the Beatles are kind of in that place for me where it's some of the best music ever made. I think we all know that. I just never connected to it the way that certain people do. And maybe more people who are more knowledgeable about its impact and the history and the personalities in the band and all that stuff. I just never got there. But Live and Let Die is my favorite Bond film. And that was Paul and Linda McCartney. So maybe he'll play Live and Let Die for Chris Hine. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We've got some baseball talk coming up next hour. We'll continue the conversation about the Minnesota Vikings quarterback situation and the Gophers about to kick off pretty soon against Nebraska. Right now we've got Louisville and Miami, but are the Gophers going to win this? Matthew Collar in for Henry Lake. All right, the Gophers kick off against Nebraska in just a couple of minutes. Jonathan producing tonight, Matthew Collar in for Henry Lake. Gophers winning, Jonathan, what do you think? Going to win this one?
So Nebraska's been playing better consistently over the last year and a half. Matt Rhule comes in, and this is what he does. He did it in Philadelphia at Temple. He did it before going to Carolina. He did it at Baylor. He did it in Waco. And now he's at Lincoln, and he is a very solid, very rooted football coach. And he's got this guy that they call, you know, like Patrick Mahomes Jr., you know, Dominic Raiola, that is supposed to be the next coming, and he's supposed to sling it all over the yard. Well, he hasn't played great, but he's played, it seems like he's consistently grown. The Gophers have always had trouble getting offense going. Mm-hmm. They've always, under P.J. Fleck, and before that, Jerry Kill had a couple good seasons, but it seems like offensive talent has been somewhat bereft at a lot of positions. And you have nuggets there. You have people that are doing well here and there. But as an overall offense, it hasn't been an offensive explosive team since the early 2000s, Glenn Mason?
The 1 year with Tanner Morgan.
Yeah.
Was probably it when he had Rashad Bateman.
That was the one outlier.
Right, exactly. And they've shown flashes of that with Drake Lindsey. And he's got an arm to push the ball down the field. Yes. I don't know if he's got the receiver.
It seems like the last couple of seasons they've gotten more comfortable with actually starting to throw the ball down the field.
Yes.
And they the ground and pound game that you can get away with at Michigan, you can probably only get away with at Michigan.
Right, yeah.
And maybe Ohio State. You can't even get away with that at Penn State anymore. And they got two all-world running backs. And it got a guy fired. So I fear the Gophers will not win this one. I'd like to see them win this one. Anytime I get a chance to see Nebraska lose is glory for me, having grown up in the place where I grew up. So anytime that happens, it's great. But it's going to be tough.
Nebraska's played a lot of close games. They were at Maryland 34-31, and lots of big plays, lots of mistakes from Nebraska's quarterback, Raiola. Looks like you could get after him, though. Three picks last week, had his seven sacks against Michigan. So you could cause big mistakes from him while he's pretending to be Mahomes. But the ESPN odds only give the Gophers 24% chance to win. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.